This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. BNSF Railway and the City of La Crosse reached an agreement last week on conditions that will allow the railroad to add a second set of tracks through the city. Here to talk about the deal are La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and Maureen Friedland. She represents Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, a group that opposes the expansion. Mayor Cabot talks about some of the details of the agreement.
We really try to focus on a few areas, primarily dealing with safety and emergency preparedness and response. Some of the other issues that we could not get agreement on, you know, we're going to continue to pursue. And we were looking to try to, as much as possible, mitigate any negative financial impacts to the city, and as well as work on mitigation of the La Crosse River Marsh. So in essence, the agreement provides that BNSF will address the utility crossings. There's, again, 10 to 11 utilities that are impacted, so BNSF is going to take care of that. They're going to address the at-grade crossings as a part of the Forest Hills Municipal Golf Course. There's two at-grade crossings. Those will be closed. The railroad is going to construct an underpass, which will allow for the safe travel of pedestrians and golf carts. And then we are also looking, as a part of our side of it, is to extend that trail up so that we can have a safe connection up to the trailhead for Hicks and Forest, to the parking area up there. And along with that, then the railroad is going to provide a incentive payment of $830,000 for the city to be able to use and to address, again, the golf course and relocation on some of those things, so that we can, in essence, get everything out of the railroad right-of-way and get it all onto the east side of the tracks. The railroad is going to provide a foam car and foam material, so that is a firefighting piece of equipment, along with two trailers to deal with spills that are in water. So there's a boom trailer that the railroad is also providing to help us to deal with issues in water if there's a spill or a fire. And then the railroad is also providing a training for 54 firefighters over the course of 3 years to deal with both the foam firefighting and the other pieces of trying to address emergency situations by railroad.
So in the end, how do you feel about this agreement?
You don't get everything that you want. I mean, we did really try to push hard on things like rail speeds, trying to reduce the overall speed of traffic, trying to address the blocked crossings.
And BNSF has said that, so they want to keep it at 45 miles per hour going through
Correct. Some
of the areas there, and they're not looking at changing it at this point.
Not at this point, no. And just as a reminder, the train speeds, the makeup of the cars, the length of cars, how long they are at crossings and all that is all regulated, and it's in the responsibility of the Federal Railroad Administration. There have been a couple of communities that have been able to get voluntary agreements on train speeds, which is what we really tried to push, but ultimately we didn't get that in the agreement. And our goal was to try to mitigate as much of the negative impacts and to try to address those, especially the safety and emergency response, as best we could.
And Maureen Friedland, in the end, how do you feel about the agreement?
We knew it was going to be a tough one, and with the lack of local ability to control the railroads, we were going to only be able to get so far. It's sad that the corporation's efficiency is really the first thing that the corporation is worried about, and in response, the DOTs that were ruled unsafe 20 years ago...
The tank cars you're talking about?
Yes, the tank cars are still going to be on the route. We're pleased that many of the city's expenses can be covered, hopefully for a break even, and we appreciate the work of the city council members and the mayor, but we're disappointed because we have continuing concerns. Accidents are still increasing with the exponential growth of oil that's being extracted from the Bakken. We have frac sand going in one direction, crude oil for export, it going in the other, a lot of it for export. And we have a fifth of the population of La Crosse County living within a half a mile on either side of the tracks. if there is an accident, and there will be an accident somewhere, I hope it's not in our area, then our area is going to be at risk. A river disaster would affect the river's commerce, tourism, and even with this agreement, local emergency response can only react. There's nothing in there for the marsh, such as booms. The cost of sending the firefighters to training is going to be another cost that the city is going to have. And even with the incentives to help offset the cost, we feel like the city was basically held hostage. It felt a need to act quickly, and that we need to continue moving towards lower speed limits. We thought that 30 miles per hour would have been a reasonable amount of speed. We want the railroad, and we want the city, to continue to do everything in its power to eliminate unsafe tankers passing through our areas. So we plan to continue. There is a marsh aspect of this. There are permits that still need to be obtained from the Army Corps of Engineers and from the DNR, and we'll be involved in that stage. Even after that, we continue to want to be involved on a regional level and on a federal level with the assistance of the city as well.
Mayor, I'm curious, as Maureen said, she felt like the city was held hostage. Do you feel like it was sort of inevitable that the second track was going to be coming in?
I guess the short answer is yes. It did feel, again, the railroad, through federal preemption and the federal laws that have been passed over the many decades, in essence, greatly limits local ability to have much regulatory oversight on rail traffic. I mean, you have interstate commerce and you have federal preemption and a whole bunch of laws that limit what cities can and can't do. I think it was pointed out in one of the testimony during the public hearing that way back in 1880-something, the city of La Crosse had enacted some local laws to deal with, train speeds through the city, and how that has obviously changed in the 100-plus years. And we are very sensitive to our La Crosse River Marsh, and that was one other piece of the agreement that I didn't touch on earlier, and that is the notion that we are going to continue to work really hard to make sure that the mitigation piece stays here in La Crosse, because that's basically the holdup as to why BNSF doesn't have their permits from the DNR and the Army Corps, because there's not a mechanism currently in place to deal with the mitigation the way that the railroad would like, regardless of whether it's a payment in lieu of or an actual mitigation project. We are going to fight to make sure that that gets done in our area.
BNSF will be acquiring about 7 acres of the marsh. And with the mitigation law that exists within Wisconsin, the DNR essentially has to either create or provide some sort of financial incentive to almost recreate 7 acres of wetlands somewhere within Wisconsin. And I understand the city is trying to push for that to occur somewhere near the marsh, is that correct?
That's correct. There's three ways through the Army Corps and through the DNR process to mitigate wetlands. There's, you can buy credits that there's a wetland bank. Unfortunately, there's not any of those credits available right now. There's the what's called a permittee responsible project, where, again, BNSF would actually go and create, new wetlands somewhere. And then there's this payment in lieu of, which the state of Wisconsin does not have that program. So you're looking at a whole set of rules that have to get created and then adopted by the Army Corps from the state. And I believe that's, at least in our conversations, that's what the railroad wants to do, is be able to pay a payment in lieu of. And again, our stance is that money should, or those resources should, stay here. We have identified projects in our La Crosse River Marsh that will improve flood capacity and storage and water flow. So we're ready to go with those resources. Right now, we're just to the point of trying to convince the state and the Army Corps that this is the right way to go.
We're also very complimentary of the city for wanting to have a local plan and for working with the Burlington Northern on that. Members of our group participated in helping to put that together. But there are more issues about the marsh that we're concerned about. All of the information has not been submitted yet about how the project will take place, and we still want some inquiries to be made about flood levels and about the impact, the cumulative impact on the marsh. So there are some issues besides just how the mitigation will take place that we're concerned about.
Are there other neighborhood issues that you're thinking about when it comes to adding this double track? Obviously, we heard a lot from people living in those areas that there were concerns about safety, Maureen, as you talked about before, also mm-hmm. issues with noise and the vibrations. So what now can the city do, or what now can BNSF do to sort of alleviate some of those concerns since this track is coming in?
We still have concerns that there will be congestion. And while we hope that the congestion will be relieved, we're still not completely sure what the impact of Grand Crossing is and whether this is going to really take care of the issue. And speaking of Grand Crossing, we need to mention Canadian Pacific. We hope that the city will inquire also as to issues that are involved with Canadian Pacific, such as speed. And now that we have this agreement in place, that the city has this agreement in place, that they'll go on to see what the impacts on Canadian Pacific are on other neighborhoods. We wanted, as I said before, to have slower speeds and common sense controls for the crossings, for both of the rails to have the new quiet technology. And we aren't sure what the amount of relief can be obtained for neighborhoods right now. We know there's $830,000 that Burlington Northern will pay for the city to move along quickly, and we haven't had any statements, to the best of my knowledge, whether any of that money can be used for neighborhood improvements or even for some basic vibration studies so that we have the basis going forward, people have the basis going forward for protecting their homes. We'd like to see either the city or Burlington Northern to do some vibration studies and pollution studies. And these are for the whole city. This is not just for that area. There's going to be an economic impact on the entire city. In our view, this isn't just about making the golf course better. It's about creating recreational opportunities and preserving our trails. We are pleased that the trails will be looked at and their integrity will be looked at. And that's for the entire city. Also, let me just go back for a second about the marsh. We're also concerned about the marsh as a recreational opportunity, too. And that's part of the cumulative impact that is going to be looked at there. So we continue to be concerned about neighborhoods and with the impact for the entire city. We also want to go on and bridge with other communities and work to create awareness on the federal level about train safety and about how we really need to be able to have more local controls. There's a lot of points that the mayor and I agree on as far as lower speeds, and we need to continue to work together on those aspects.
So, Mayor, is there any sense that $830,000 or so, could that go towards some of the neighborhood improvement issues that Maureen touched upon, and when does that get decided?
Well, that's a decision to be made by the city council as it really decides on where to utilize those resources. You know, primarily we have discussed the costs involved and the safety involved with getting the golf course operations onto the east side of the tracks, whether or not there could be portions of those funds used for some of those neighborhood mitigations or developing baseline information on vibrations or noise. You know, that's entirely reasonable. We can we'll have to talk about that with the council, and they'll have to make that decision. I do think the larger issue that just continues to be out there, I guess, is the overall safety. We have utilized our voice from the city's standpoint with our federal legislators to move forward as quickly as possible on the rulemaking to deal with the tank car standards, to have much higher and a much more safe tank car that ships this material, to get rid of the DOT 111s, more quickly than the 2 years that they're talking about, to stabilize oil before it's shipped, because that's a relatively, from what I understand, a relatively simple thing to do, which would greatly reduce the volatility of that being shipped. And apparently we do that now when we ship the oil overseas, when it's loaded onto ships, but we don't do that in our own country. So those are the kinds of things that we have been pushing and will continue to push, again, because those are federal rules and federal standards. And, I've encouraged everybody that's contacted my office through this whole process. I mean, again, we're trying to do the best we can locally with those impacts. But ultimately, we need to work with our federal legislators to, have very stringent standards on how this material is being shipped. Because, I mean, the reality is it's here to stay. It's going to be here for the foreseeable future. And it will be increasing, I think, as they just continue with the the demand for oil. So it's one of those very difficult issues that we find ourselves, again, kind of right front and center, and we're going to do everything we can with our citizens as well as our federal folks to try to make sure it's as safe as possible.
Right. That's excellent, and we want that to continue. We know that a lot of these issues are on the federal level. There's also perhaps some state possibilities. The state of Minnesota has passed legislation that would create funds of money that could be used for local emergency protectors. Would like to see that. Minnesota has also created funds that would raise money for more inspections. So would like to see the legislature take those issues up. This is not a political issue. This is something that affects all of us. And we need to continue working with our federal legislators, and our area legislators have been very involved in this, to require the railroads to fund equipment and supplies and training on an ongoing basis.
Maureen Friedland is with Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, or CARS, which has opposed expanding rail service in the La Crosse area. She was joined by La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot. They've been talking about an agreement reached last week between the City of La Crosse and BNSF Railway that will allow an expansion of train tracks in the city. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. BNSF has said all along it wants to add the second track to eliminate a traffic bottleneck that forms in La Crosse. Spokeswoman Amy McBeth says it'll ultimately improve service for their customers who ship goods via rail.
The project is going to be put in place for the traffic that's on our route today. So when we talk about in areas where we can improve our efficiency, improve our movements of the trains that we have on our network, this is an area that we've identified, and so that's why we're proceeding with this project. Independent projections show that as the population grows in this country, rail traffic is likely to increase. It's market-driven, so what our customers ship is what we're going to ship on our railroad, and we want to be able to do that effectively and efficiently. But again, this project is put in place to be able to deal with the traffic that we're seeing there now, and we're pleased that we've been able to work out an agreement with the city that addresses some of the concerns that we've heard from them.
Amy McBeth is a spokeswoman for BNSF Railway. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to the BNSF agreement and documentation provided by the CARS Group. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.